TGH, make some noise if you're so glad to be in the house of the Lord today. Oh, come on now. Act like God has been good to you. He woke you up this morning, started you on your way. You have breath in your lungs, clothes on your back. I'm talking about the simple things that he did for you. And there's some things he did that you don't even know he did. And he's been so great and good to us. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord today. The old folks would say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Y'all too young for that. Y'all don't know about that. But I'm so glad to be before you today. And it feels like a special Sunday today. The Holy Spirit has been moving through our worship, and I don't want us to miss this moment. So before I even open the Bible, before I start the word, I want you to get something on your mind, and we're going to put these things before the Lord. I'm talking about prayer today. So I want you to think about, what am I worrying about today? What are the things that I'm concerned about? What are the things trying to give me anxiety? The things trying to stress me, the thing trying to weigh me down and burden me? Start to think about those things. I'm gonna give you 10 seconds to think about those things and list them by name. Be very direct about those things. What are the things that you're worrying about? Because some of us came in carrying things that have made it hard to worship through and hard to hear the word through. And today, if we dare talk about prayer, I want us to be able to know that prayer is the place where we can release all of those things to a God who cares. Oh, come on now. Did that encourage you? I said that God cares about what's stressing you. God cares about what is making you anxious. God cares about what you're worrying about. So before I pray, I want you to get those things in your mind, and we're going to lay those things before the Lord. And then we're going to learn about the gift, the tool, and the promise of prayer. Get those things on your mind. Get those things on your mind. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift our worries to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that we weren't meant to carry the weight of life by ourselves. Dear Heavenly Father, there are things in our life that are trying to weigh us down. But before we get distracted by those things, we release those things to you. Your scripture says that you said, come to me all who are heavy laden, and I will give them rest. So dear Heavenly Father, I pray that even before we open your word and we hear the message, you start to give someone peace of mind. You start to give somebody rest in their spirit. You start to tell somebody that even though my situation isn't changing, I feel God hearing my cries. I know that God is with me. And if you don't change anything, Lord, give me the peace of knowing that you hear me and that I'm not in this situation by myself. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift your word. I pray that you will remove Charles out of the way and let us experience you in a unique way. Somebody needs to know about the promise of prayer. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Everyone who agrees, say amen. Right where you are, go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4, one of my favorite books by the Apostle Paul. And it's one of those books where if you read it and don't know the background and context, you think this is just a sweet and happy book. But if you understood from where Paul was writing this book, you would understand that he wrote this in the midst of stress, burden, and chaos. You would understand that Paul knew exactly what it meant to find peace and joy in the midst of a storm. Look what he says in Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. This is what Paul says. He says, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. He said, rejoice in the Lord when things are going well. That's not what it says? No. It says, rejoice in the Lord, say it with me, always. And then he said, if you didn't hear me, again I say, rejoice in the Lord. He said, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Then he gives us a very hard task. He says, do not be anxious about anything. In other words, don't worry. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the promise, and here's the good news. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Oh, it's not even going to make sense when you have this peace. He says, that peace will guard your hearts and your minds in the only person who has the power to change your situation, in Christ Jesus. Let me say that one more time because it's too good. He says, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated all over the building. And as you sit down, look at your neighbor and say, I pray peace over your life. Come on now, I want you to have some peace. I want you to have the peace of mind and heart. Turn to the other person, the person you know really needs some peace, and say, I'm praying peace over you right now. You look like you need some peace in your mind. I wasn't gonna say nothing. But you look like you need some peace in the name of Jesus. Man, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm praying hard for you. Earlier this week, I had a really, really rough day. And I mean, the moment I woke up, I was in a mood. Like, you ever have the type of day from the moment your eyes open, you was like, this is not a good day. Like, I'm on the wrong side of the bed. And then it's like almost everything. I done stubbed my toe. People cussed at me going to work. My coffee spilled on my shirt. It's just everything is making me moody this day. And I made it through the day, but I'm one of those people where when I'm sad or when I'm going through something, I show it on my face. Like, I'm not good at acting like I'm not in a mood. You're going to be able to tell I'm having a bad day. Y'all pray for me. Pray for your pastor, please. And the thing about that day is I made it through, but I also had a date with my beautiful wife that night. And we weren't going to cancel that date. So we went to the date, and the whole time, man, I'm still in a mood. Like, I'm ordering food with an attitude. I'm complimenting her in a mood. Like, but if you know my wife, she is the most positive, happy, optimistic person. So I'm over here like, man, I can't believe it. And she's like, this is great. It's wonderful. This is awesome. God is so great. And the thing that she does is she just listens to me. She lets me vent about my day. And you know how misery loves company. If I'm in a mood, I kind of want you to be in a mood. It's no fun to be sad and you happy. Like, let's have a pity party. Just entertain me real quick. But my wife doesn't do that. She'll listen to me and let me vent. And she'll just be positive and happy. And while we were on the date, I was like, babe, how are you always so happy? Happy stuff ain't always happening. But you're always so happy. And she changed my perspective on something. She said, I just choose to be positive about everything in life. I know we have reason to be sad, reason to be stressed, reason to be overwhelmed. And I can't control those things. But what I can control is how I respond to those things in my life. It's not that everything is happy in my life. I choose to be happy in spite of everything that I go through. And Paul, in this letter to Philippi, he's also an example of choosing joy in spite of our circumstances. If you're taking notes, our first point is the perspective of prayer. Before he tells us to pray, he teaches us the proper perspective to have when we approach prayer. He emphasizes the importance of rejoicing and finding peace when we pray about what we're going through. Because many of us, we're frustrated with life and, be honest, with God. Because you expected that when you walk with God, that his promise for your life was happiness. You thought, okay, I give my life to Christ, he forgive me for my sins, and like for real, he makes me happy. Walk along if you feel like a... Then about 10 seconds of being a Christian, you're like, wait a minute. Every day is not happy. And God never promised us that life in him equals eternal happiness. Want to know why he didn't promise us that? Because happiness is a feeling that is dependent on external conditions meeting our preferences. Let me say that one more time. Happiness is a feeling that is dependent on everything in our life meeting our preference. When life goes the way I want it to, now I'm happy. But when it doesn't go the way that I prefer, I'm unhappy. And God never promised us happiness. But what he did do is teach us about joy. Everybody say joy. Joy, on the other hand, is choosing internal stability. Watch this. In spite of external circumstances. Joy is a choice. Joy is choosing to be happy on the inside, even though life is ratchet on the outside. Have you ever seen somebody like that where they wake up and choose joy? Unlike me, when life comes at them, they don't decide to respond with anger and sadness. When you really have joy, you wake up and decide that your day is going to be good. You wake up and speak that your day is going to be good. You wake up and embrace the day as if it's already been good. Look at what Paul says in verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. To rejoice is to celebrate or be glad. Paul in this first verse is telling us to adopt a perspective of joyfulness by choosing to celebrate the goodness of God. If you at the cookout this summer, you know Kool and the Gang, when that song come on, they say, celebrate good times, come on. Celebration is an intentional focus on what is good. Kool and the Gang says, celebrate good times. So there are times while you're in bad times where you have to focus on what's good in spite of the bad. Because if we be honest, everything isn't all bad. It's just when I feel bad, the bad is amplified over the good. When you deal with circumstances in life, it can feel like everything is going wrong, even though one thing is going wrong or two things is going wrong. And to choose joy is to say, in spite of this one thing, I'm going to focus on the good things so this one thing doesn't ruin the rest of my day. Growing up, I would always hear preachers, when they really started preaching and they got happy and they wanted the crowd to respond, they would say, when I think about Jesus and all that he's done for me, when I think about the goodness of the Lord, they would say, I can dance all night. And I used to think that was just a churchy thing that they said. But when you grow up and you live a little bit, you know that wisdom means, okay, this can take me out of my good feeling. What I'm going to do is think about Jesus and all of his goodness. He's not doing what I asked him to do, but let me think about what he's already done. I'm waiting on him to answer this prayer, but let me remind myself of the million prayers he already answered. The song says sometimes you have to encourage yourself. While I'm waiting on God to answer a prayer, I'm reminded that he's answered several prayers. I'm borrowing happiness from the last time he was good. Oh my goodness. If you've lived long enough, he's done enough to keep you happy until he does the next thing. You have to choose joy and peace. It may not often be when God changes it and now you have peace. It may be a choice and a perspective that you have to adopt in the middle of what you're going through. No matter what we go through, we must remember that joy is available by choice. In spite of what I'm going through, I choose joy. Look at verse 5. He says, and let your reasonableness be known to everybody. So this is the part where I was convicted. I was like, God, why'd you have to say that? You could have just said rejoice always. But then he said, let your reasonableness be known to everybody. In other words, he's saying, when you're having a bad day, don't spread the badness to other people. I'm about to hurt somebody's toes right now. He's saying when you're having a bad day, instead of complaining, instead of gossiping, instead of fussing about what's wrong in your life to other people, he says, let your reasonableness be known to God. Why? He says, the Lord is at hand. In other words, the Lord is near. When you're complaining, do you think God just leaves the room? When you say, man, God ain't coming through, man, my life is trash, this is terrible, this day, where do you think God is at? At hand, he is near. And when you complain about your life, Doesn't it seem weird when you're like, man, God is not doing it. He'll never come through. Dear God, can you bless me with... You see how weird that is? When one minute you're complaining about God and then you ask God for him to do something? He was there when you were complaining. When I used to work at the bank, man, I'm glad I don't work at the bank no more, but I used to work at the bank and it was repetitive. We did the same things every day. Transactions this, withdraw this, balance that. And I just knew that this was a job that I needed in order to get my MDiv. But I had coworkers who they loved to complain about our job. And the thing about them was they would complain about our hours, about our pay, about the day, about the people, about the work quality until the manager came in. Oh, they had big talk, big complaining, a lot of things to say until the manager walked in. And I always thought that that was kind of weird. I was like, when it's just me and you, you fussing, you talking, you're complaining about everything, but let the manager walk in the door. Now you're employee of the month. You're like, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. I just love this bank. Like this bank, can I withdraw? What are you like? I want to do everything. And isn't that interesting that some of us would rather complain about what's wrong then bring what's wrong to the person who has the power to change those things. Imagine if instead of complaining to me, you talk to the manager about your work condition. What does complaining do about your problem? Make you more angry about it. Complaining has never fixed a problem in your life. All it does is teach you how to dwell on what's wrong. You've never felt better after complaining. You actually got more angry about it after you complained. Complaining has never fixed your problem. But what Paul is telling us, remember that God is near when you want to complain. Remember God is with you when you want to fuss about your problem. And that like the manager at the bank, he's the only one able to fix your problem. When we pray, we can rest knowing that the God who is able to fix our problems is always available to hear us. Oh, I really want to encourage you with the last thing I just said. God may not change it, but guess what? He heard you. When you pray, there's no such thing as God not being aware of your situation. And what you feel like is a no might be a not yet. And sometimes his no is better than a yes. Because we be praying, thinking we know what's best for our lives. Some of us need to thank God that he said no to some of our prayers. Come on now, are you mature enough to say, thank you, God, for every time you said no? Thank you, God, for every time you prolonged the blessing. Thank you, God, for doing what you knew was right and not what I asked for. Because sometimes he'll go ahead and let you get what you asked for, and then you realize that's not what you needed. Because the grass is always greener on the what? You think you need that. You think you want that. But God knows what's best for you. You have to have a perspective of joy and choose joy while you're praying. Point number two, if you're taking notes, after the perspective of joy, we get the perspective of prayer. We get the posture of prayer. The posture of prayer. And Paul is no stranger to having to have a joyful posture in the midst of tough life situations. In Philippians, he's writing this letter to the church talking about joy, joy, and peace. But we find out that he's writing this letter from a jail cell. He's in prison talking about joy. He's locked up for the sake of the gospel. He's like Akon, locked up, they won't let... Oh, come on now. I'm so glad I got a half saved, half ratchet church. I'm so glad. That Akon still goes. Heading uptown to you. All my drug dealers like, yeah, talk that talk. Talk it, pastor. In the text, Paul was writing in prison because he was being persecuted for the sake of the gospel. And what he could have done was looked at his situation in prison and not chose joy. And what it just told us to do is watch how we talk to people. He wrote a letter of joy to the church in spite of not having a joyful situation. Paul had gotten to the certain level of maturity where he rejoiced in his persecution. When someone mistreated him for Christ, he celebrated because that's what Jesus said they will do. Jesus says the world will hate you because they hated me. So if you're going to carry the gospel, don't be surprised when you go through things for my sake. So he got to a point to where if I'm in jail, let it be in jail because I'm pushing against hell. If I'm in prison, let it be because I'm preaching the gospel and people don't like me. Paul was saying, I'm in jail for the sake of the gospel. Y'all outside at church, I think you can choose joy. I think you can think of something God has done to be happy. I'm in shackles, y'all in praise and worship. I think you can choose joy at church. I think you can. He says in verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer. Let me stop right here. He says, everything that's trying to make you anxious, take everything to God in prayer. You all have a person in your life that you tell everything to. That you get, when you pour the tea, you pour the whole thing when you talk to them. But when you go to God, you give him a portion of your concerns. You was on the phone for 3 hours. You was in prayer for 15 seconds. Look forward, don't look around, look at me. We tell people more about our situation than we tell God. As if people have the power to change our situation. Do you want people to know about your situation or do you want your situation to change? He says, you're anxious because you're talking to the wrong people. He says, instead of being anxious about everything, take everything in prayer and supplication. Supplication is a fancy word for prayer request. What is supplication? Supplication is when you petition for what you need to a higher power or someone in superior authority. You've ever signed a petition, usually they're like, can you give us these signatures and we'll submit it to an authority who can change what we're petitioning. So there's prayer and there's supplication. Prayer is just personal communication with God. I'm talking to God, he's hearing me, and sometimes I'm quiet and I hear him too. Sometimes in prayer, I just stop and listen. Because if I'm talking, the Holy Spirit doesn't have room to speak to me. Sometimes I'm in a prayer like, Heavenly Father, because he heard me complaining before I prayed. You already know what's wrong. I'm just going to be in prayer. God, speak to me. Speak to my heart. Prayer is personal, intentional, conscious communication with God. But supplication is I've communicated my situation with God, but now I'm telling him the things that I need. Supplication, the root word is supply. I'm going to the supplier to ask him what I need. It's not enough for me to tell you what's wrong. God, this is what's wrong, and this is what I think I need. God, this is what's going wrong. This is what I think will fix it. And even if I'm wrong, at least I've submitted my request, and you know what's wrong. It's like when you're in your apartment, and you hit up your super and say, this is broken. You know it's broken. That don't mean you know how to fix it. How you think it needs to be fixed might not be right, but as long as you submit the request for it to be fixed, the person comes and fixes it. You don't know what they did. You just know they saw your request, responded, and fixed it. The same with God. He says, take everything in prayer and supplication. It's okay to pull up on God with a prayer list. It's okay to not just talk about it, but be like, God, I hope you got time because I got a list of things I think I need. That's okay. That's how you build your personal relationship with God. No one should know more about your problems than your father. I gotta let that sizzle a little bit. No one should know more about what you're going through than your heavenly father. The one who was with you while you're going through it. The one who's waiting on you to make your request known. When you make your request known, You're not prompting God to move. Some stuff he already said he was going to do. He just wants to know, do you have the faith and trust that he will do it? Sometimes your prayer releases God to do the things he already wanted to do for you. But he's looking at you, trust everybody else but him. Take everything in prayer and supplication. Look at what else he says. He says, when you're praying and supplying him with your list of needs, he says, do it with thanksgiving. Be thankful while you're asking him. Have thanksgiving while you're running your list down. And then he says, let your request be made known to him. The posture of my prayer is humility and thankfulness. Because yes, I'm going to be really thankful when he answers my prayers. But when I look at how prayer used to be in the old covenant, I'm grateful that I can even go myself into his presence and put my request before him in the first place. Do you know that before Christ, people had to give their prayer request to a priest? Priests had to dress in white and walk through a tent and get into the holiest of holies and put the you couldn't take your prayer request to God in the old covenant. But Christ came and the veil was torn. And now the thing that was a gap between us and God, Paul says, we can walk confidently and boldly into the presence of God. So before I ask him for anything, I'm just thankful I'm in your presence. I'm just thankful that I get to come to you, God. Hold on, wait. I was going to ask you for something, but this is crazy that you even hear me. And I don't have to go through somebody. I don't have to sit in a room and confess to another human. No. I get to pray and go straight to God. There's a scripture in Hebrews 4, verse 16 that blows my mind. Look what Paul says in another book. He says, let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I've read this verse before, but this one word blew my mind. And it's not grace, mercy, need. The thing that blew my mind is he says, let us draw confidently to his throne. Do you know that when you pray wherever you pray, in the spirit realm, it's the same as you going before his throne? Get this in your mind. Imagine the heavenly room, God sitting on his throne, all of his majesty, all of his beauty, all of his greatness. The scripture says his presence is so great that no one can look at him and live. It says that there are thrones around his throne. I'm getting happy just saying this. And the angels on the throne bow down and lay their crowns around his throne. And here we come, our imperfect, flawed, sinful, ratchet selves. And we just walk into his throne room and make our requests known to him. Why can we do that? And why do we take that lightly? I can only imagine if I was actually in the throne room and I got to see him on the throne before I pull my list out, I'd probably be like, God, thank you so much. Your majesty, you're so holy. Look at you. I had some stuff I wanted to say, but I worship you. I love you. Thank you for allowing me in this space. Thank you for not rejecting me when you saw my imperfections. And when I speak, you hear me. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you pray, you're laying your requests at the feet of his throne. So yes, he lets us be personal with him, but don't get too casual. We're going before the throne of grace. What would happen if you started your prayer imagining you're before his throne and you just worship and say, God, even if you don't do it, thank you for allowing me at your throne. Thank you for letting me in your presence. And your presence is so powerful that even though you haven't changed my situation, I feel better because I'm in your presence. I'm more positive and optimistic because I forgot about what's going on in your presence. What would happen if we approached his throne in prayer and gave him the reverence that he deserves? You're talking to the creator of everything, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, out at his throne. After being in the presence of God, even if he didn't answer my prayer, I would feel better just from experiencing him. Just from being around him, I would feel better. And then in verse 7, we get our third point. This is what Paul gives us as the promise of prayer. He says, and the peace of God, thank you, Jesus, which surpasses all understanding, will guard not just your heart, but your mind in Christ Jesus. In 2014, after I finished college, I spent half a year living with my mother. And in a time where I thought I'd be celebrating this great accomplishment, I got to graduate from my dream school. I'm done. College was long. It was crazy. In the first month of me living with my mom, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And it was particularly scary because the women on her side of the family, a lot of them had been diagnosed with breast cancer and lost their life already. So for her to also be diagnosed with breast cancer, you're talking about anxiety. You're talking about stress and worry. I didn't have time to celebrate because I was so worried about my mom. And while I was worrying, my mom, with her saved and sanctified self, she probably worried for like a day. And then after the day of worrying, she said, you know what, Charles? Worrying isn't doing anything for my diagnosis. What I'm gonna do is I'm going to pray and I'm going to proclaim myself healed every day. And me, I'm still worrying, I'm still crying. I'm like, Jesus, how can you do this to my mama, Lord? My mama, and she's just praying and proclaiming herself healed. I'm worrying, I'm talking to people. I'm like, God, I don't know, this is crazy. And she's just praying and proclaiming herself healed. I'm not even talking to God. I'm mad at church. I'm worshiping with a hard clap. I'm mad. And she is praying and proclaiming herself healed. It was a couple months of every day her waking up and praying and proclaiming herself healed, even down to the very day of her having surgery to potentially remove what they saw in her breast. And as she was entering into surgery, here I am, I'm still moody. I'm like, Mom, I can't believe it. And she says, Charles, there's only two ways this can go. Either I'm healed and God gets the glory, or I'm not healed and God gets the glory. So either way, I'm in a win-win situation. But what I can't do is worry and stress. So while I'm heading into surgery, what am I doing? I'm praying and proclaiming myself healed. And we waited for hours. I'm in the waiting room. That's torture. You like know someone's in surgery and you're in the waiting room. And then the doctor came out after the surgery. And I'm just like, Doc, please tell me what's going on. How is she? And the doctor said, before I tell you, let me just tell you something. As we were performing, as we were trying to comfort her, she was praying for us. There was somebody on my team who this was a very bad day for them. And instead of her focusing on what she needed, she prayed for my coworker. And I want to tell you about the news of the surgery, but we just want to thank you for allowing your mom to be a gift to us in the surgery room. And she said, oh yeah, your mama's healed of cancer. And I was like, oh, hey. But do you see the perspective that my mom had? She says, whether God does it or not, whether he heals me or not, whether he answers my prayer or not, he's not finished getting glory out of my life. And I can't let the bad situation lead me to being disobedient, lead me to not being useful to him as I'm entering into surgery. I'm praying and proclaiming. I'm believing God for my healing. I'm blessing his name. I'm worshiping. I'm choosing joy in spite of what I'm going through. God has been too good for me to depend on whether he heals me or not. And I just hope I have somebody in this room who is in the middle of worrying about your situation, in the middle of going through your circumstance. Will you trust God that whether he answers your prayer or not, he's going to get the glory out of your life
If you agree with that, take about 10 seconds and say, God, get the glory out of my life. God, get the glory out of my situation. Before you answer my prayer, my answer is yes. Before you move in my life, my answer is yes to you, God. I know you can change it, but even if you don't change it, you're still good. Oh, I'm getting happy up in here. You're still good whether you do it or not. And I'm gonna bless other people while I wait on you to move. Jesus is with you while you're in your circumstance, and he has not forgot his promise for your prayer. Just because you have not seen the answer does not mean peace is not available to you. I'm going to close with this. In John 14, 27, he gave his promise of prayer. And I want you to receive this in your heart, and we're going to open up the doors of the church. He says, as I leave, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and of heart. And the peace I give, watch this, is a gift that the world cannot give. Oh, I'm getting. And the secret about that is, if the world could not give it to you, then the world can't take it away. So if your peace is rooted in Jesus and not your situation changing, whether it changes or not, you're gonna have peace regardless. And my prayers for some of you is that you would have peace before your situation changes. That you enter into prayer and you get peace just because you get God. What if all you get is more of him? What if your situation does not change? What if he does not remove it, but what he does give you is more of him? When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane asking God, you didn't notice, but Jesus asked God to take away the cross. Ooh, did you hear what I just said? Jesus is God, but even in his most human moment, he said, God, if I don't have to die on the cross, please take this cup from me. He was stressed to the point of death. And did God take away his circumstance? No. The scripture says, after Jesus prayed and said, not my will, but your will be done, God didn't take away the cross. He sent angels to strengthen Jesus. The answer to your prayer might not be a changed situation. It might be I'm making you stronger in the situation. Ooh, what if he just wants to make you stronger? What if he believes in you more than you believe in yourself? What if he said, I don't have to take it away because you're going to overcome in spite of it? Jesus knows what it's like to have to choose joy even when God doesn't change his situation. Will you stand all over the building? Because I believe that God is doing something special in somebody's life today. I believe that at this altar, someone's going to bring their worries. They're going to bring their cares, their burdens. I believe that someone is also carrying worries about another person. Hey, I'm talking about myself. I'm already thinking about somebody who I'm not even worried about myself. I'm worried about them. I'm stressed about them. Do you believe in what I just said? That when you take everything to God in prayer and supplication, the peace of God will surpass your understanding and cover your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I want to invite you to the altar. There's some of you where you're bringing your own cares, and there's others of you, you're bringing someone you care about before the Lord. And today we're praying for the peace of God to cover you and to cover them. That's my first invitation. If you want to bring your burdens, your cares, your worries to Jesus, and I need that promise. I need the peace that he said. I'm tired of worrying. I'm tired of stressing. I'm tired of talking about what's wrong with everybody else in my life who have no power to change it. But today, I'm believing the promise of prayer that his peace is going to cover me. My second invitation, there's somebody in this room where you haven't even thought to bring your things to Jesus because you've never given your life to Christ. And you know that this promise is what you need. But how can I get the peace of Christ if I'm not in Christ? What's beautiful about God is he provides for you even when you're not in his will. Even before you become a child of God, he still gives you breath. He still provides for you. He still protects you until you finally say yes to his invitation. There's somebody in this room where you don't need a change situation. You need a changed eternity. You need a changed relationship status. God, I've been trusting my own efforts to get my life right, and I can't do it. And the pastor just said that you don't even require me to do it. You've been waiting on me to just trust you with my life. And I need that peace that surpasses all understanding. If that is you, we welcome you to the altar. We want to pray with you. We want to walk with you. This is an amazing church to give your life to Christ and walk in community. But I'm about to pray with all of these people at the altar. Hope you remember the things I told you to think about at the beginning. What are you worrying about? What's that thing giving you anxiety? What's that person that you really wish you could help them and be a savior for them, but you're not God, and you know they're not praying? That person you're bringing before the Lord on their behalf. It's okay to pray in the gap for somebody else. You have no idea what your prayer is gonna do for the person you love, for the person you know is far from God. I want you to connect your faith with everybody in this room. Humble yourself. Imagine yourself before the throne of grace with your Heavenly Father in his presence. I want you to already start to experience the confidence and peace that comes with being in his presence. Do you understand that in his presence, there is peace? In his presence, there is liberty. And God is not so big that he doesn't care for you and hear you. Dear Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you, before your throne of grace, giving you our worries, giving you our cares, listing by name the people we need you to help and bless. Dear Heavenly Father, we've been carrying these burdens on our own, and we've been talking to everybody but you about what's wrong. But dear Heavenly Father, we want to obey what the scripture says, and now we're bringing everything to you in prayer and supplication. Dear Heavenly Father, we need your help, we need your love, we need your grace, and we need your peace to cover our minds. Dear Heavenly Father, we hold every thought captive and we submit them to you, God. I pray against every thought that is telling us to give up. I pray against every thought that is telling us we're not worthy. I pray against every thought that is telling us we've messed up too much for God to care about what we're praying about. I pray against every thought that tells us we're too dirty and sinful to be used by God. Dear Heavenly Father, let your peace cover our minds. Give us the type of peace that we don't even understand, that when we choose to focus on you, even though the thing didn't change in our lives, we all of a sudden have a spirit of joy and happiness and peace, and now we're encouraging other people, even though you didn't change our situation. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for the minds of every brother and sister at this altar. Put your hands on them. Wrap your arms around them. Let them feel you. And even when they don't feel you, let them know that your presence is not a feeling. Your presence is a truth that we know we can lean into. Even when I don't feel you, God, I know you're there. I know you're with me. And God, not only do we want you to touch our minds, but touch our hearts. For the heartbroken people here at the altar, dear Heavenly God, we pray for healing in the name of Jesus. For the people who their heart is hurt and they can't forgive themselves for the things that they've done, I pray that you start to heal and mend the spirit of unforgiveness. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray you start to touch the hearts of those where they have resentment towards another person, God, and that resentment and unforgiveness has held them captive. I pray even now, God, that you would help them overcome all of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the emotions, and you start to fill their hearts with your peace, joy, and love. Dear Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you. We bow on our knees in humility and in gratitude, never forgetting the things that you have already done for us. You've been so good to us. And because we remember what you've already done, we believe and proclaim, like my mom said, I'm gonna pray about it and proclaim it over my life. Somebody is proclaiming healing in the name of Jesus over their life. Somebody is proclaiming provision in the name of God. Some of us are proclaiming our future to be blessed in the name of Jesus. But dear Heavenly Father, it starts with a prayer. So dear God, as we enter back into worship, dwell with us, walk with us, wrap your arms around us, and remind us that you've heard every single prayer and that you're working on our behalf. It's in Jesus' name we ask all these things. And everyone who agreed with this prayer, I need you to say hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.